Hello, everyone, and welcome to our webinar with Mental Health Ireland and Family Carers Ireland, caring for the carers, nurturing mental health and well-being. And I'm delighted to be partnering with Family Carers Ireland, and welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Fiona. So I'm Anna Deshoun. I work with Family Carers Ireland. I'm a psychotherapist and I lead our National Counselling Service.
Thanks, Anna. And I'm Gina Delaney, and I'm Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland. So we're delighted that you've joined us, and this is going to be one of a series of events that are taking place for the month of October, and the 10th of October marked World Mental Health Day. So we invite you to take a look at our website and mentalhealthireland.ie, and you can have a look there at all the different events that are taking place on our special page for World Mental Health Month. And then just to let you know a little bit about Mental Health Ireland. So Mental Health Ireland are the longest running national mental health charity in Ireland, established in 1966. So a big birthday coming up next year. And our mission is to educate, empower, and connect communities, creating a culture where everyone is treated with respect and supported, especially when our mental health is challenged.
And Family Carers Ireland are the national charity who support Ireland's approximately 500,000 family carers. And family carers are people who care for loved ones, such as children or adults with additional needs, perhaps older people, people with palliative care needs, those living with chronic illness or mental health challenges. And really, I suppose family carers come from all walks of life. And here are some statistics of what we know about family carers. And it's important to recognize some carers will be juggling work, as in paid employment, those responsibilities, as well as their caring responsibilities. But we know that family carers deliver around 19 million hours of unpaid care every week, which saves the state approximately 20 billion a year. So we really recognize the importance of the work that family carers do in our country. So in this webinar today, what we are aiming to do is to provide an overview of how this really important caring role can actually impact on your mental health. And we also want to explore some tools and techniques that are going to support you as a family carer to enhance your own mental health and well-being. So as we go through the webinar, there will be an opportunity for questions and answers at the end. But if you think of something during the webinar, pop it in the chat, and we'll be able to get to those questions at the end.
So as we begin then, we wanted to really just to outline and give some information around our mental health and our well-being. And to start with then, I suppose we think about a holistic view of our health and how our mental health is situated within that. So each aspect of who we are, impacts on the other area. So, we're all made up of many parts, and there's many aspects of ourselves that are really important as we move about our day-to-day and week-to-week lives. So if we think about the environment that we find ourselves in, and it could be, like I suppose the places where we spend our time, where we find ourselves physically located. If we have a nice view of our garden from our seat, or if we're looking at a building site, there's just a simple example of how our environment can impact on it, on our mental health and on our overall health. But, also, I suppose, there can be more extreme situations within that as well. For example, if somebody's living in where they're homeless, or they don't have heating or things like that, so that can really affect our overall health. And then societal impacts. So, what's going on day to day in our lives, what we're taking in through the newspapers, through the radio, the different things that are happening in our world. Societal norms and societal attitudes, they can all impact on our overall health and, of course, our mental health within that. So then if you see the inside circle, then These are different, I suppose, aspects of who we are and what's important in our lives. You could break it down in many different ways, but here's six different aspects of who we are. And they all impact on us in different ways. So, if I take physical, for example, we might be in full physical health, and that can be, a really great starting place to, feel that we can be open to all the other aspects of who we are. But if we're not in great physical health, having access to health care is, a really important part of being able to look after our overall health, and of course our mental health within that. And then emotionally, I suppose being able to understand our feelings and being able to process them and to do something with our feelings, that's something I think that, most of us are still learning that, no matter what place we are, whatever age or stage we're at in our lives, we still have a lot, to learn about how we cope as human beings. And then I suppose today our focus is going to be on our mental health. So I'm going to go into that in more detail now with the definition that we have here. So this is Mental Health Ireland's definition of mental health. So mental health is an essential part of being human and of our overall well-being. So it helps us to handle everyday stress, to find purpose and meaning in our lives, to learn new things, to build good relationships, and deal with challenges in a healthy way. It also plays a big role in helping people, families, and communities to thrive. So hopefully you can see where your mental health would fit within that definition. But a helpful way of looking at mental health is to breaking it down into the mental health one, two, three. So looking at, first of all, the relationship that you have with yourself. And sometimes we don't even think about these things, but we all kind of have that relationship with ourselves. You might see it in the way that you talk to yourself if you're having a stressful time, for example. Do you talk to yourself like you would talk to a friend? Or do you maybe kind of start giving out to yourself and say, oh, I should be able to do this better? So our confidence and our self-esteem can play a big part in that. And we all have, there's different things that we can do for our confidence and for our self-esteem, and that will help to build on and improve the relationship that we have with ourselves. And that can change, from different, if we're going through a particularly stressful time, sometimes we might be a little bit hard on ourselves. And we can work on that. And then our relationship that we have with others and having more or less positive social interactions and communications, because this is real life. Not everything is going to be perfect. And when we move beyond ourselves, we don't have control. Like say how other people show up in our interactions is outside of our control. We can only control how we turn up to our interactions. And again, there's things that we can do about that as well, such as kind of learning to have, good communication skills, learning to be able to put boundaries in place with people who may not bring out the best in us. And again, when we work on number one, we're going to improve number two as well. So working on ourselves, we can have better relationships with others. And then finally, the third part is our ability to be able to cope with life's demands and more or less using healthy coping mechanisms, because again, this is real life, and no judgment here. We have to bring a lot of compassion into how we cope with life's demands. But if we can mainly look at what are those healthy coping mechanisms and bring in more and more of those when we're coping with difficult times in our life, I suppose that's where you feel the best, and that's how your mental health improves. So hopefully that's a helpful way of looking at it. And again, there's a lot of control of what we can do within the one, two, three there. So then before we move on to, I suppose, the how our mental health and our well-being is impacted by our caring roles, let's look at the definition of well-being. So well-being is present when a person realizes their potential, is resilient in dealing with the normal stresses of life, and takes care of their physical well-being and has a sense of purpose, connection, and belonging to a wider community. So it's a fluid way of being and it needs nurturing throughout life. And I like that last part where it says, it's a fluid way of being, because again, it puts the control back in my hands that there are things that I can do to look after my well-being. And that's really a lot of what we're going to be talking about there today. And Anna will be taking us through a lot of really helpful tools.
Brilliant. Thanks, Gina. So I suppose one of the first things to look at is how the caring role can impact on the carer's mental health and well-being. So what we know is that caring for another person, it can be really, really rewarding and enriching, as well as being very difficult and demanding. So those two things can be present at the same time. It's important, I think, to sort of recognize and acknowledge that few carers actually choose their caring role. Okay, caring often is created through circumstance. So either it's a diagnosis or something happens, but generally something happens in the environment and somebody now requires care. Okay, so it's something that the carer has been asked to adapt to. What we know from our own research in Family Carers Ireland is that family carers actually report significantly higher levels of diagnosed depression and anxiety than the general population. Okay, so we know that caring, particularly where a person is caring without the appropriate and required supports, it can impact negatively on the person's mental health. So, when we think about what is involved in the caring role, we can begin to see how this might happen. Okay, so a lot of carers, have the experience of having to fight for services, services that their cared for person need and are entitled to, but they just have to navigate the system and then sort of advocate and demand for those services to be put in place. We know, Gina was talking there about, how our physical health is related to our mental health and well-being. And of course, the caring role often has a lot of physical demands. When you have somebody who requires care, often there's a lot of, movement and transitions that the person requires care with, and that can take an actual physical toll, on the carer. As well as that physical toll, there's a mental and emotional load. And, part of the mental load is even just trying to keep up with all the different appointments that for you as a carer and for the person that you're caring for, and perhaps for other people in the family as well. And the emotional reality of what you are dealing with every day. Grief is often very much part of the caring experience. Either, as we mentioned, caring often comes about through a new set of circumstances, and therefore, an expected future might have to be let go of. Perhaps, you were looking forward to a particular retirement, and now a diagnosis has changed what those retirement years are going to look like. Yeah. So grief is often very much part and parcel of that caring journey. And we have to recognize as well complex family relationships. Sometimes there's a complexity in the relationship before a caring role ever emerged. And sometimes those complexities emerge through the caring journey, okay? Where you've got perhaps one sibling stepping in to taking on the main caring role, and that negotiation with other siblings, what does that mean? What is expected? How are other people going to help? And as I mentioned as well, many carers are juggling paid work as well as their caring role. So, when we look at some of those pieces, and that's just a really brief snapshot of some of the challenges that family carers will face on a daily basis, we recognize that there can be a lot of stress that is associated with caring. And I think it's important, firstly, to recognize that, it's not inevitable that family carers are going to have poorer mental health. Okay. But we do recognize that these challenges can and at times will impact on that person's mental health and well-being. And I think it's really important as well to recognize that while there are, stressors that are inherent in caring, not all stress is bad. Okay. So before we begin to look at some of the tools that will allow us to manage those stressors and our stress response, we're going to just start by looking at, like, what is stress? How do we understand stress? So the World Health Organization has said that stress can be defined as a state of worry or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. Okay. It's a natural human response. So it's not a faulty response. It's something we actually need in our lives. We need to be able to react to stressful situations. because it prompts us to address challenges and threats in our lives. Okay, so everyone experiences stress to some degree. And the really important bit there is that the way we respond to stress makes a really big difference to our overall well-being. And it's really important, particularly, if you are in a caring situation, that caring situation may not be about to change. It may not be possible to change the reality of the caring role. So what we want to do is recognize, okay, how am I responding to the stressors that are present? So that I can actually support my own well-being. And like I mentioned, not all stress is bad. Okay. And we recognize, in psychology circles, they recognize that there are three types of stress that we will encounter. There's positive stress, which is part of our normal healthy development. Okay. And it's where you're like, oh, I forgot to book that appointment. I'll pick up the phone and make it now. And okay, great, that's done. Right. So that's a positive stress response. There's tolerable stress responses. They are often where you have severe and long-lasting difficulties, but you're getting the right support that are allowing your body to recover from the sort of challenges that it's encountering. And then there's the toxic stress response, and this can result from strong, frequent, or prolonged adversity. And this is the one where we begin to see maybe it's impacting on our functioning. Okay, it's impacting on how we're able to do the things we want to do. And we start seeing an increase in risk for stress-related disease. So we really want to manage that toxic stress response to a tolerable or a positive one. And the thing is that, there are stressors that are triggers for stress, and they're going to be unique and individual. Okay, something that's really stressful for me, someone else, it'll just roll off them. They won't bother them at all. Okay. So it's really recognizing that stressors and stress responses are very, very individual, that our stress response is going to reflect our current coping capacity. So if you have had a really bad night's sleep and you wake up and you're tired and you're irritable, your ability to cope with stress is going to be very much impacted. Okay. And we also know that stress responses reflect our own experience and knowledge. So how am I going to respond to this? What are the tools I have in my toolkit that might help me in this particular moment? Okay. So that's what we're really going to be looking at now for the next sort of 10, 15 minutes. How am I going to put a few more tools in my toolbox? Yeah. And what do those tools look like? Often we talk about self-care. Okay. And I don't know if anyone's ever had this experience where you've just had a day when you're running around madly, you're trying to get everything done, you're trying to juggle a million and one things, and you hardly have time to take breath. And someone says, "Now look," someone really well-meaning says, "be sure to look after yourself too. Now you have to look after yourself." And you feel like doing this, right? You're like, "Ah, how am I meant to look after myself? I can't even take a breath." Okay. So sometimes self-care is kind of like a triggering word for people, particularly when there are a lot of demands that you're juggling. Okay. So I really wanted to acknowledge that and look at, okay, what do we actually mean when we say look after yourself? What does self-care look like? And self-care really, it's all about action. And some of those actions will be big and some of them will be small, right? So, taking the time to close the bathroom door and lock it probably and take a bath, that can be a really, really positive self-care action. But sometimes it just isn't time in the day to do that. Okay. So sometimes self-care looks as small as taking a breath, just taking a single breath. Okay. So in this workshop, what we're going to focus on are kind of self-care tools that can be used every day. Okay. It's important that if we can, we do create those boundaries so we get those breaks where we get to step back, whether it's time to take a bath or time to spend a day away. And that equally important are the little things that we do every day, those small little pieces that we use to nourish ourselves on a regular basis. So in this webinar, we're going to look at two things that help us shift our mindset, okay? Little things and self-compassion. We're going to look at a tool called five finger breathing, and then we're going to look at another tool called the nourishing and depleting check. Okay. And hopefully, even if one of these lands with you, okay, maybe you'll find all of them helpful. Maybe there'll be one that really you feel, do you know what? I think that's something I will actually be able to use on a day-to-day basis. So, like we said, not only are stressors individual, but the things that nourish us, the things that support us, they're going to be really individual as well. So it's about kind of trying them out, seeing whether they land and how they land, and then choosing, is this something I'm going to put in my tool? So starting looking at mindset shifts. So this is going back to that idea we were talking about that, you know, a really important part when we're understanding stress is understanding how we respond to stress. So Hamlet, you know, Shakespeare, he was a great man for naming things. So there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Okay, so how do we shift our thinking to support ourselves? And I mentioned there's two things we're going to look at. One is how do we pay attention to the little things, and the other is self-compassion. So if we're going to start, I have a little exercise, and I hope it's going to work. So the first thing I'd like you to do, hopefully you have your phone next to you. Most people have their phone somewhere close by. Okay. If you have your phone, what I'm going to invite you to do is open it up and either look through your gallery, okay, of your photo images. I'm doing it here as well. Or if you're not someone who takes loads of photos with their phone, go on to Google and Google something that you know you like. Yeah. So whether that be sunflowers or polar bears or kittens or whatever it is. Yeah. So take a few moments to find an image that's going to make you smile. Yeah. And then once you've found it, actually look at it. Just take a few moments to look at it, to absorb it, to feel that smile coming on your face. I'm looking at a toy that my daughter dressed up. That's what I'm looking at right now. So
I've got my
pause.
dog here, Anna.
You've got your dog,
Yeah.
brilliant. You know, pause and just savor it just for a moment, right? Really small thing. So what we know is that when we actually pause and look at something that makes us smile, it actually boosts our serotonin. It changes how we feel, okay? And that is a really essential part in building our resilience, yeah? So just notice, what was it like to actually have a look, find something either, you know, in your gallery or on the internet that made you smile? And, you know, if you're techie, you might want to make a folder on your phone and put in a couple of those images so you have a smile file. And if you're feeling stressed, or if you're just feeling, oh, I need a break, sure, I'm going to have a look at my smile file. And as you look through those images that are positive images for you, you won't have to do it intentionally. A smile will come on your face, and that actually begins to change your body chemistry. Okay. If you're really techie, I know some people who've made like reels. So the photos, like a 30-second reel where the photos go through and they've got a song they like. I'm not techie enough to do that, but I think it sounds lovely. So I thought I'd share it with you. Okay. Another thing that you can do each day is play a round of self-care bingo. Okay. Particularly, I love this self-care bingo, particularly on days when it feels like, you know, oh, I didn't get anything done today. Oh, I thought I'd get so much done and, you know, done nothing. And then you stop, you go, well, actually, what did I do today? What did I achieve? Did I get dressed? Yay me, I did. You know what? I might have even had a shower as well. How fantastic. You know, did I let myself cry? Maybe I needed to do that. Maybe I actually got a chance to practice being mindful because I paused when I parked the car and I took three breaths. Yeah. So these little things are really important. And it's really important to remind ourselves that sometimes we haven't achieved that list of 550 things that we'd, you know, written for ourselves. But you know what? We stayed alive today, and that is a positive. Okay. And, you know, did I try something new? Everybody who has logged on to this webinar today, There you go. There's one of the things in your self-care bingo done because you logged on here and you've tried something new. Okay. So these things, they are small, they're simple, but they can have a very big impact on how we are feeling within ourselves. Okay. The second piece I'm just going to touch on quite briefly is this idea of self-compassion. Okay. And you know, this is a quote by a leading academic in the field of compassion. And he has said, you know, compassion is sensitivity to the suffering in self and others with a commitment to try and alleviate and prevent it. And I love this quote because, you know, often we think of compassion as something we feel for others, yeah, something that we give. And I think particularly for carers, there's this habit, you know, as carers, we are caring for others, we are giving. And that can become such a habit that we struggle perhaps to receive care or to give that care to ourselves. Okay. Compassion, self-compassion really is an act of bravery. Okay. Setting boundaries and advocating takes courage. So, you know, balancing our needs with the needs of the person we care for, that's not about being selfish. It's about recognizing our common humanity, and therefore we are more authentic. We are going to be more effective at whatever it is that we want to do. Okay. So just pause for a moment and think to yourself, which do I find easier? Giving compassion to others or giving compassion to myself? Yeah. And I think for many people, they'd say, oh, it's so much easier to be compassionate to somebody else. And I think what's important is that we bring that idea of self-compassion into something very practical. So this is our second little exercise today, okay? And it's compassionate touch. It's a really, really nice way that we can sort of give that compassion to ourselves. So again, this is an invitation, okay? What I would invite you to do is we're going to do the butterfly hug. Some of you may have come across this before. So the first thing you do is you cross your arms. And what I would say is you can either hold yourself up at the shoulders. That might feel nice, or it might feel a little restrictive. You might prefer to hold yourself further down, kind of at your elbows. So just notice where does that feel nice for me? Okay. Where does that feel most comforting for me? Yeah. And once you have that cross, I prefer my elbows, right? Once you have that sort of crossed arms in place, begin to gently tap either, you know, wherever your hands are, whether they're on your shoulders, whether they're on your upper arms, near your elbows. And notice, you can play around with it. Is it a gentle tap that feels most soothing for me? Is it something more firm, something firmer that, you know, I like that connection, that feeling of strong holding. So be curious, be curious, which is feeling good for me. There's no right or wrong. And as you tap, take a deep breath. So we are, you know, taking a deep breath, we're stimulating our parasympathetic nervous system. Still tapping. And then, if there is something that has been challenging or a little bit distressing that has happened to you today or recently, just allow that memory to come to mind and let the tapping soothe you. So, both these things are present at the same time. Perhaps something that we found difficult, as well as this gesture of soothing and support that we're giving to ourselves. Remembering to breathe. I'm just pausing, okay? And just holding yourself in this hug and noticing, how was that for me? How am I feeling now in this moment? And again, being curious, what was it like for me? And for some people, you may find, you may even like to give your arms a little rub So for some people, that might be a soothing thing to do. For others, it may not have been. There's loads of ways that we can use soothing, supportive touch for ourselves. Perhaps a hand on the heart if we feel ourselves feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Yeah. Cupping our hands, cupping our face in our hands, or even having one hand on the forehead and one on the back of the head. That's a very, very supportive touch for our nervous system. Okay. So when we're talking about self-compassion, one way that we see self-compassion in action is by soothing, supportive touch. Okay. So these are things that give us a moment for a mindset shift. I mentioned the breath there as we were talking, because breathing is one of the sort of most immediate avenues, I suppose, that we have to connect with our nervous system. Okay. And when we're stressed, our nervous system is activated, which is not a problem. That's an appropriate response. But what we want to be able to do is allow it then to deactivate again. Okay. So the movement to activation and back again is the one that's really important that we want. And the breath, because there are so many nerves that are connected to our diaphragm, and 80% of the communication between body and brain goes from the body to the brain, and only 20% goes from the brain to the body. So by working with the breath, working with the body, we are in fact, impacting very much on our stress response. Okay, so this is our third practice, something that I am going to invite you to do, that we'll do together to see, does this sit with me? How does this feel with me? Okay. So to do five finger breathing, it's quite handy because you'll have your hand there, right? So what you want to do is, first of all, okay, which hand am I going to use? I like to hold up my left hand because I'm right-handed. Okay. And what we'll be doing, I'm just going to ensure you can see me. Yeah. What we'll be doing is taking maybe your forefinger, and again, maybe go up and down the side of the thumb first, and just notice, which pressure feels best for me. Do I like it a little bit light? Do I like it a little bit more firm? Which feels good for me? Yeah. And then what we're going to do is inhale as you come up the thumb, and exhale as you go down the other side. Inhale up the index finger, exhale down the other side. Inhale up middle finger, exhale down. Inhale up the ring finger, exhale down. Inhale up the little finger, and exhale all the way down. Okay. Pausing, noticing, what was that like for me? So the first time you did it may have been the first time you did it. We were doing it to a particular rhythm together. It may be that you think, I think I would do that, but I'd do it a bit faster, or maybe I'd do it a bit slower. So again, it's sort of introducing the concept, and now I would invite you to be curious and explore it for yourself. Okay. So it's a very simple practice, and it's one that encourages our body to be calm. Okay.
I can say, Anna, that it does work when you're co-hosting a webinar live also. I just tried it.
Excellent, excellent. I'm delighted to hear that, Gina. And the last tool that I'm just going to introduce to you today is this idea of nourishing and depleting. Okay. And I mentioned earlier, if you've had a bad night's sleep and you get up and something happens, your capacity to respond to the stressors is going to be different. It's going to be less. Yeah. So the more depleted our battery is, the more we will struggle to respond in either a positive or a tolerant way to the stressors that are present in our life. Okay. So when we recognize that, people often say, oh, my battery's pretty empty today, right? So we can recognize often when our batteries are drained, but then we have to begin to explore, what charges my battery? How am I going to make sure I have enough fuel in the tank to do the things that I want to do? And one of the ways of doing this is by thinking in ink, okay, by literally writing it down. And this is a very, very simple nourishing and depleting checklist. And literally, you're going to write down, you can do it on a day, a typical day, what are the things you're doing every day? And are those things nourishing you? Are they depleting you? Or are they just neutral? They're neither taking from your battery or giving to it. And this is a really interesting exercise to do. And this checklist is actually going to be attached to the email that will be coming out after the webinar. So I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, to print it out. And if you've got more ticks in the depleting than the nourishing, what is the inevitable outcome of that? You're going to be depleted at the end of the day. So it's really a case of, okay, I may need to look at, putting some more nourishing things in there, whether that's doing the five-finger breath, whether that's going and standing outside in my garden and listening to the birds, whatever it is, it gives you that opportunity to go, oh, right, actually, if I look at my daily activities and which are nourishing and which are depleting, then how I'm feeling is going to make a lot more sense. Okay. And I know Mental Health Ireland have some more really lovely resources that Gina is going to talk about now.
Thanks. So we've tried out a few now, and it's been lovely to try out some as well during that. And I certainly feel more at ease after the breathing. So thanks, Anna. And we're gonna just invite you to take a look at these ones. You can actually hover over that screen there, and it'll take you to where you can find these resources on the Mental Health Ireland website. But also, you'll receive an email after this. And when you go in on that link, actually, it'll bring you to a lot of different resources, and it'll bring you to the recordings of the other webinars that we had over the month of October. So there's some lots of nice, interesting things on there. But the eye can control, it's good, I suppose, just to use it just to see what is actually in our control. And the gratitude then as well, very good to just, I suppose, to increase your sense of positivity and optimism, and it actually increases your sleep, improves your sleep, which is interesting to hear. I didn't know that before looking into it. So so pop on and have a look and see if it's something like with all of these things, as you said, Anna, it's about trying them out and seeing what works for you. So the five ways to well-being then are, again, it's all down to research. Everything on here is to do with research. So the five ways to well-being was research carried out to see what actions can people take to improve their well-being. So they're all up there. I'm not going to go through it, but it's, connect, be active, take notice, keep learning, and give the science behind all of them. Sometimes it's nice just to know that, like, that it's not just somebody's, good idea. It's actually a good idea, but they actually work as well. And they do say as well in the research that if you can find an activity that brings in all of these, that that's where you get the maximum reward on the time that you invest into it. I asked that at a talk there recently, and one suggestion was being a member of your local sports club, I suppose. Like, that's a, because you're connecting with people, you're being active, you're taking notice while you're doing your activity, you're learning maybe new ways of improving your skills, and you're giving time to your club as well. So but obviously it can be anything. For me, it's going for a walk in the woods with a friend and bringing my dog as well. So it's different for all of us, and it depends on what our own abilities and lives are like. So finding things that work for us, because that's what it's all about, really. If we're going to make any sort of commitment to our mental health and our well-being, we have to do it in a way that's meaningful for us. So yeah, by trying out different things, and you'll find the things that land well for you. So might just share then a little bit more from the what Family Carers Ireland have to offer as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So again, in terms of trying out things, and I know we have some resources, Mental Health Ireland have resources. So there's lots of different things that you will have the opportunity maybe to log on to and try out. I just wanted to mention we do have a resilience program coming up, and a lot of the things that I kind of touched on here in the webinar today, we'll have an opportunity to go into more in depth in this 4-week program that's starting on the 12th of November. It's free for family carers, and the Eventbrite link to sign up to it will be in the email. And I need to mention our Family Carers Ireland website, which is familycarers.ie. We have lots and lots of different events, some online, some in person around the country. You can find details for your local support manager, who'll be able to signpost you and support you in different ways. And I mentioned that we have our counselling service, and there is how you will find out more about our counselling service. And finally, we do have a free phone care line if you want to pick up the phone and ask about anything related to caring. And those people who are working on our care line will do their very best to support you.
And then some of the workshops coming up for Mental Health Ireland. So if you want to learn more about what I was touching on there around the five ways to well-being and more around mental health and well-being in general, that's the step one. The step two, then we have a lot more around some of those tools that we covered, and lots of other ones as well. And the step three, then navigating conversations around mental health. So that one will be coming soon. The bottom one there, Mental Health and Family Caring Programme. So that's a 5 week program. It'll be run online on in mornings, starting on the 15th of January. So that's a partnership program again with Family Carers Ireland. So bringing kind of the best of both organizations together around mental health and family caring, and it's specifically around families where there's mental health challenges. So if there's a mental health challenge within the family and you want to learn more about supporting yourself and looking after your own mental health and well-being and recovery within that, it'd be great to hear from you. And after this, as we said already, you'll be getting an email and you can just reach out and ask through that email, or you can scan that link there as well for more information. So just a little bit about the Connectmas. That's our next campaign in Mental Health Ireland. So there'll be, opportunities to learn there, lots of different resources. Give if you want to make a donation, and then sharing, that there'll be different gifts and that people can look for. So Christmas, I think, is a good time to be thinking about those sorts of things. And then just let you know about further supports for you or for somebody that you care about. That Samaritans is there to listen 24 hours a day, 116 123. Text about it. So you can just text hello to 50808, and reach out there and get some support. And if you're worried about somebody else, or worried about yourself, and it is an emergency, that we would advise just to call 999 and just reach out that way, or 112. You can go to your emergency department. And I suppose we always suggest as well that your GP is the first port of call if there is any concern. And sometimes, people will say, and obviously the GPs are very busy, it can be difficult to get an appointment, but they will prioritize if you tell them that it is an urgent mental health concern that you need advice about, that it's always worth saying that to them. So we want to thank you. I want to thank Anna and Family Carers Ireland. It's been fantastic to work with you and to partner with you on this. So thank you, Anna. And we would like to invite you, our participants who have logged on, to please give us your feedback, because we'd love to know how you found this. And just, I suppose, to invite you as well to seek in and get that support if you need it through Family Carers Ireland, through Mental Health Ireland, or through your GP, whoever it might be. And if there are any questions that need to be answered, Alessia, you might let us know.
Yes, of course. Do we have 5 minutes to allow attendees to ask any questions?
Great. Yeah. So if anybody has anything that they'd like to pop in, you're welcome to pop it into the Q&A button there. Just click on that and you can submit it. Or if you want to put it in through the chat, I suppose Q&A is the best way to do it. So yeah. Is there anything that you want to add in the meantime, Anna?
I suppose it's that piece. The program that we developed together, the one that's coming up in January, is such a fantastic program. And because one of the pieces, I think that there's always two pieces. Family carers are so focused on the person that they're caring for, and that it's often themselves that they forget about. Yeah. And that'll happen in any caring situation. But what's really important about that program that's happening in January is that that's specifically for family carers who are caring for somebody who has a mental health challenge, which can be a very, very difficult place to find yourself, because really you're a carer, you're a supporter, you're working towards, the person recovering, and it can be a very, very tricky place to find yourself as a family member. Carer and supporter. So yeah, that's a good
It's a
program.
great program. Yeah, I love doing it. And like what I love is that moment. There's always that moment when we're delivering the training that people would say, "Well, this is for me. This is actually a space for me." And like, we often all the feedback is always that it's so good to know that, people are not alone in that, because that's a great sense, isn't it? To know that I'm not alone in something, that there are other people out there. Yeah, that sense of peer support. Yeah.
I
We have
see
a
a question.
oh
Oh,
yeah, we
sorry.
have a question from Fiona. She's asking if there's a place where we can find more of these mindful exercises. Very good.
Absolutely. And just a few places, Gina, you probably have loads of resources as well. I suppose one of the things is on Firstly, Family Carers Ireland website, and do you know what? I'll put that link in as well. We do have lots of lovely education training programs, and we have e-learning modules. And one of them is about self-care for family carers. One is on I think compassionate caring. And there's a good few of those kind of mindfulness exercises in those programs, and they're online. You can click on them, do them at your own pace. Beaumont Hospital, interestingly, have a lovely page on mindful exercises that they have recorded. And what I might do is pop that link over so that it goes out in the email as well. And then, sorry, the last one I'm going to mention is selfcompassion.org. So this is Kristen Neff's website. She's one of the leading researchers in mindful self-compassion, and she has quite a few nice sort of recordings that you can listen to for free on her website. So that's just a few places that come to mind for me. Gina, I don't know your problem.
No, but just to say, I suppose, yeah, that on our website as well, that there are lots of those kind of exercises and different things, and that step through to training that I was saying, if people are interested in that, that we will go into more information about the different things that you can do and the tools that you can use as well. There's a lovely problem solving tool that is great, because sometimes you can be kind of like dealing with a worry and what do you do with it? Sometimes it's hard to know. So yeah, having that little tool to kind of go through the steps and how to solve it can be useful as well. So yeah. Alessia, you might be okay to pop in the link to the resources into the chat. Would that be okay? And Anna, if you want to pop in the link into the Family Carers Ireland one. And we did have a query earlier just about the recording for this. So yeah, they will be put up as well on the website, and Family Carers Ireland will be sharing it as well, and we'll share online. And possibly, I'm not 100% sure, but if we can send it out in the email with the resources and the links, we'll do that as well.
Yes, it will be sent.
Oh, great. Any
Absolutely.
other questions? Yeah.
We're
If
good.
we're okay, then we can call it a day, I think. Yeah. So,
Absolutely.
any final thoughts that you want to say before we close, Anna?
I suppose just to say that, I would encourage anybody who is struggling to reach out for support. And, Family Carers Ireland, obviously I'm coming from leading our counselling service, which is just one of the supports that we offer as an organisation. I mentioned our support managers because caring really is something that no one should have to do alone. And those stressors sometimes are inevitable, but with the right support, we can respond to those stressors in a positive and helpful way. So whether that's, additional education, learning, whether it's have somebody advocating on our behalf, whether it's knowing, getting that support to navigate the really complex systems that are in place when we're, trying to support the person we're caring for. And I know Mental Health Ireland have incredible resources in your website as well. So it is that piece of recognizing we all need support at times. and that, as much as possible, we are there to provide that support. And just sometimes even that feeling of not being alone in this journey and in these challenges is huge.
Perfect. Thank you, Anna. Thanks so much to Family Carers Ireland for being part of this webinar. And thank you for attending. So thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Bye.